marathon. I think they were feeling a little bit tired about the pursuit of different politicians and the next sound grab and the next comment and the next crisis and the next controversy that they were going to have to talk about. And eight weeks is a long time to continually find new things to drag up, to discuss. I read a guy often, Alan de Botton. He's a Swiss guy, a Swiss philosopher. And he makes some very interesting insights into our world today, into a whole range of concepts. But he wrote a book a couple of years ago about the news. And it's a fascinating book, his insights into the news. And one of the things that he says is that the news has taken the place of discussion in society in the way that, or taken the place of religion, okay, in the way in which we discuss society. Once religion was our key factor, and now the news is something that we listen to, and there's this vicious 24-hour news cycle that you hear some reporters talk about that it is an incredible machine to keep up with, to actually stay in touch with everything that's happening in our world. It just is sometimes inundating. But Alain asks the question about the news, and I think it's a great question. How can, for example, Taylor Swift's legs be in the same report of the news as a tragedy like what we had in Turkey this week? It's a good question, isn't it? And you watch the news broadcasters and they will go from something as tragic as the loss of life through a terrorist act to discussing just how valuable, you know, Beyonce's backside is, or Taylor Swift's legs are, how much they've been. They just go from one to the other and they don't even blink an eye. And that's the news. He actually produced a news outlet for himself and he called it the Philosopher's Mail. And basically he's saying, look, we get too much news. I'm going to shut it down on the weekends. And he did. And it's open on weekends now, but if you used to go to his website on the weekend, he said, go and do something a bit more constructive than try and read the news. that was his comment about it. He just said it's a frustrating experience to try and keep up with everything that's happening in our world. And he said much of what is in the news is really about what is going to appeal to our own fears and our own uncertainties. And that's how they pick news stories. It's really an appeal to our self-interest. I saw Bill Shorten in an interview, and I think he was sharing the frustration of a lot of leaders in our world today, where he was saying that his frustration with election cycles and news cycles was that you've got to reduce everything to a 30-second sound grab. And he said it's very hard to give people truth or the whole story in that 30-second sound grab, or, you know, 45-second or minute sound grab, or that 3-minute segment. And I think it's true for everyone, isn't it? Not just Bill Shorten. You just can't get the whole truth in 3 minutes, because the issues that we're grappling with are far more complex and just can't be understood in a soundbite. So anyhow, I think that in our world today, with so much information, not just the news, but so much information coming at us from all different angles, it can be easy to feel somewhat inundated, overwhelmed, and wondering what on earth can I do in a world that is getting so out of control? What can I do? Where do I fit? Is it worth carrying on? Is it worth doing anything at all? It can be the question that we can sometimes ask ourselves. I think that it's really become evident in our society in Australia that, you know, we're going through a major transition. I think this latest election highlighted some of the issues that we're going to face in our world today. Things like same-sex marriages and the quality of family life and the way we structure families and they're big issues. They're huge issues for us. There are a whole range of shifts happening in our world today. And they're going to keep happening. Some of these shifts are going to have an enormous impact on the church. They're going to affect the way that we express our faith. I think one of the things that we need to be really aware of is that we are living in a post-Christian society in Australia today. It's the reality. And increasingly that the effects of that secularization of our society is becoming evident for us in the way that we have to relate to things like governments. For a group of people, as in the church, who for a long time, in many ways, we've had a position of privilege, can feel very disempowering. And at times, I believe it can feel a little bit scary. Because of the uncertainty of some of the things that we hold as a church very dear. So what do we do? What can I do? That was the question I wanted to bring to us as a church this morning. And we're privileged to have Fresh Hope with us today. And you know what? I think Fresh Hope brings to us a prophetic word. I think it gives us a clue about the way forward. What happens when you create something that is countercultural? In a little while, we're going to commission some of the staff. And part of the Fresh Hope story is recently they lost their government funding. So the staff that we have here this morning that we're going to commission are going to be commissioned into their roles, not because they have a contract which will assure their pay for the future, but because they have a covenant to serve the community to which they belong. That's countercultural. And I believe that is in many ways for us as a church, prophetic as well. With Fresh Hope this morning, we're going to get a very simple story of what happens when someone says, I can make a difference in my small part of the world. I can help someone. That's it. I can help someone. But we're also going to see that a commitment to help someone also means some radical inner transformation for those who covenant to live life in that way. So in the midst of this sense of overwhelmingness, I think that as a church, we are placed at one of the most exciting places in Australian history, the church in Australia. And that day comes down to us as a church in Highfields as well. Because we have been given the opportunity to reshape the church so that there is something left to hand on to the next generation. There are plenty of church buildings that have been converted into lovely homes or beautiful halls that speak of the failure to achieve that goal. We need to be different. When I speak of the prophetic word, there's a couple of great examples of how the prophetic word happened in the Old Testament. One example is Hosea had to marry a woman that he knew was going to be unfaithful to him. And that was to demonstrate the reality that of Israel's continued unfaithfulness to God. His prophetic word was a lived prophetic word. It affected, I'm sure, the very heart of who he was as a man as he lived with that unfaithful woman and took her back again and again. Isaiah, the prophet, I'm not so sure about this one as well, but he went naked and barefoot. So I guess if you're naked, you're going to be barefoot anyhow, aren't you? But he did that for 3 years. Now, I'm not going to call us as a church to go naked and barefoot through Highfields. Don't worry, okay? That's not what I... Yeah, be relieved. But there was a radical call to action. That's what the purpose was of that with Isaiah. Jeremiah was commanded not to marry or to have children. And that was also countercultural. But it was something about his expression of his commitment to God that was going to speak to a nation. What's God's word to us today? What's God's word to us today? Well, first of all, friends, I'd like to say we need to listen. Listen. Are we hearing God's word today? Are we hearing God's word today? Secondly, we need to discern. We all bring different gifts, and we've all brought different gifts this morning. How are we going to celebrate the gifts that are brought as a part of this church today and in the future? And thirdly, we need to act. And the question I'd like to ask out of that point is, how faithful are we to God's calling on our lives? How faithful are we to God's calling? Quite a few of us are on Facebook here, I know, or aware of what Facebook, some aren't. But one of the problems with the internet and some of the social media and that is in our world today is that there really is very little original comment. Most of what you see on social media and even on the news is the reposting of other people's comment or other people's perspective. And Facebook, for example, thrives on, you know, getting that viral video that millions of people watch, or YouTube. People make a living out of something becoming viral. They develop careers out of silly dances or, you know, hugging people or, you know, all sorts of things. But most of the stuff you see is just the reposting. It's just the repeating of what everyone else is doing. I'd like to think for us as a church that if we are truly listening to God's voice, that now is a chance for us to do something different. To not just be the same as everyone else. To take up the challenge of the gospel and take it seriously. A number of years ago, I was involved in being a part of a major change in mental health care in North Queensland, as it moved from institutional care to a community care model. And it was a huge shift. And as you could imagine, in the institutional setting, there was a lot of staff, there was a lot of infrastructure, and a lot of security out of a system that existed for, 50 years or so at the time in that area. And in that context, a lot of the staff were really challenged about change. Because for some of them, their jobs were threatened, their livelihood was threatened. And so we had a change management expert come to us and explain something of what was going to happen or what they expected would happen. She said, in the midst of change, people would try and grasp at control. So what they would tend to do is they would tend to pick up on the little details. So the institutional change, the major shift was going to happen, whether we liked it or not. It was going to move from institutional care to community care. They couldn't stop that. But they would pick up on the little details, the things that they could win the small battles over in an effort to try and regain control over the situation. Just so they could claim some small victory. So they could get some sense of security as that control was brought back to themselves in some way. Can I suggest that as we move forward as a church, as we celebrate Fresh Hope and its word to us, and as we consider the way forward, as we all face challenges in the way that we demonstrate our mission in practical ways, that we recognize that we're going to be in a world that is largely out of our control. That our society is going to change whether we like it or not. And it's going to change in some ways that is going to make us very uncomfortable. That we're going to have to live in a society that really doesn't know or recognize God in the way that we have become accustomed to. And we have a choice about the way we move forward. We can see it as hopeless. Or we can see it as an opportunity to bring Christ back into our society. At the very beginning of the church, it lived as a small persecuted minority. It had no government support. It was not accepted by the rest of its society. And in fact, it was persecuted to a large extent. But out of a small group of committed people, grew something very powerful. And sometimes God has to strip everything away so that he can rebuild what he loves in a way that is closer to his image. So we have a choice about our story, about the way that we move forward, about our survival for the future. The choice for the church is always about making Jesus Christ the center. There was a guy that started the Moravian missionary movement, Count Zinzendorf, and he is famous for saying, "I have one passion in life, it is Christ and Christ alone." And he started a movement that surrounded the world with the gospel. And it started from one little group of committed people in a place called Moravia. I think there is a word for us today. I think it comes out of fresh hope. I want to thank John and Karen for just bringing fresh hope to our church and the gift that you guys have given us by just sharing with us. And it's a real privilege this morning that we're able to take on board the challenge that you guys bring to us to live counterculturally. To live as a covenant community, not as a contracted community. To live as, the word is, I think, amateurs, because we do it for the love of it. So thank you for that challenge this morning, guys. I'm going to ask Karen now, she'll just give a brief introduction to Fresh Hope. And then we're going to commission the staff this morning.